It's middle 1920s, and here's Mrs. Theodore Dumoulin listening in
We'd
her home.
We'd appreciate it if anyone hearing this broadcast would communicate with us how far the broadcast is reaching.
Well, hi again. It's Tim Hunter, the current resident of the morning show here at KRKO, reaching out to people who share a little bit of KRKO's 100-year history. And our guest today, well, he and his family were involved with KRKO for a good chunk of the past century. His name?
Sparky Dabb.
Sparky, really appreciate you doing the interview and reflecting back on your involvement with KRKO. So let's hear some stories.
You know, my family, of course, owned KRKO for a cumulative total of over 37 years.
Oh, wow.
Dad and I sold the radio station in 1976, at that time to John Marple, and then Marple later sold it to Dexter Taylor and John Squires, who were both from Los Angeles. And then in 1983, I bought KRKO back from the Dexter Taylor and John Squires, then operated the station until October of 1984, when Niles R. Fowler, who was a partner, he was not active in the business, and some other small partners, including my mother, bought the radio station. We bought it back in 1983, but Fowler seized control of the radio station by manipulating stock in the corporation. Yeah, there's a lot of stories. I posted quite a bit online tagging Andy Scottdahl, because a lot of this I don't think he actually knew about or knows about. On the positive side, I'm very proud that during the time that I had the radio station, we were enormously successful. We had a total audience, a measured audience by the rating services at that time, equal to about 50% of the total population of Snohomish County. I mean, it was just awesome. And advertising revenues, we outbilled all but four Seattle radio stations at that time as well.
Wow.
But we had, I mean, we were nationally successful. I had a huge amount of national advertising as well. I traveled all over the country selling the marketing story of Boeing and Everett. That the market was redefined many, many years ago from Seattle, Tacoma to Seattle, Everett. And my dad, Bill Taft, who, of course, owned KRKO for since 1941 until we sold in 1976, was solely responsible for that market designation change by the Department of Commerce. And it was changed from Seattle, Tacoma to Seattle, Everett, and Tacoma was listed as a separate metropolitan marketing area. So I did big slide presentations of Boeing and the Boeing 747 and so on. And in fact, when they built the Boeing plant, something you would probably not know, Tim, is I created an idea to do air traffic reports between Northgate and Everett, because there was no freeway at that time. The only ingress and egress access roads were the Mukilteo Speedway, which was a little two-lane road, or Casino Road, which is a little neighborhood of apartment buildings. And there was no freeway at that time. So most of the Boeing employees were coming from Renton and Seattle. And so the air traffic reports, which I marketed and advertised quite heavily in Seattle, were very unique. And in fact, the Boeing plant, they had headsets that the employees could listen to the radio and convince them to play KRKO on their headsets at the Boeing plant.
That's awesome.
So the air traffic reports, you know, were a huge marketing and promotional tool for the radio station. During those days, the only Seattle station that was really doing a lot of promotion was KJR, and they had like a $10,000 giveaway. I had $40,000 giveaways of major prizes and merchandise, and I extensively marketed it in advertising through media, even hand flyers and reader boards all over Snohomish County. And
so we
were a very promotional station. But then also we were unique in that we were a combination of music, call it pop if you want to, with major personalities. Mornings, I had Robert O'Brien and Dennis Wills, and I brought in, even like in sports, Bob Robertson. I started the very first broadcast with the Everett baseball team. It was the Everett Giants at that time with Phases. And I hired Tom Lafferty, as a matter of fact. He was a pharmacist. And a wannabe sports broadcaster. I had him do the Everett Giants, but I also had him doing local sports. And, of course, he's been at the radio station ever since. And
yeah, he's still there. In fact, he operates the pharmacy in the Jock Lounge.
I'll be darned.
Not many people know that, but that's awesome. So who are some of the other famous people or people that went on to be famous that came out of KRKO when you were there?
Both on air and sales. I actually published 5 books over the years.
Oh, wow.
And one of them is on advertising sales. That I started a lot of careers in both sales and on air. The on air staff was a mixture of air personalities that were either on their way up or on their way down. For example, Emperor Lee Smith was let go at KJR. I hired him at KRKO.
Oh, awesome.
And Rick Hansen, who was at KJR, but I hired him away from KJRB in Spokane and helped elevate his career early on. And there's quite a number of others and on-air staff, but in terms of sales as well. Back in those days, Tim, Seattle radio was very snobby. and if somebody applied for a sales job, particularly a sales job or even on air, they would say, go get 3 years experience and come back and talk to us. So I hired and trained a lot of people that went on to broadcast management, broadcast ownership, and business ownership. And I've got a list of quite a number of people that started their careers with me that flatteringly give me credit for helping to launch their careers. For example, a fellow by the name of Rich Robertson. Rich Robertson, when I hired him, had been running skating rinks. Rich was hired away from me after, at least 2 years. And he later became general manager of KBI in Seattle.
I'll go even one further. He became general manager of Como Radio, and he was the guy that that fired me.
Okay.
This story just keeps getting better.
Gary Greenberg, who is the general manager of the new Lotus stations, which formerly were Fisher, it was to be KOMO. They changed call letters and. I was privy to that before it even happened because I struck up a very close business and personal relationship with the president and owner of Lotus. They own 48 radio stations. In fact, I'm having lunch with him tomorrow in Santa Ana.
Oh, wow. Radio stations are known for doing wacky, crazy promotions. Did you ever do that on KRKO?
And a lot of stunts, too. In fact, on the link that KRKO has started on Facebook, I posted one article where my DJ, it was an April Fool's stunt, where my DJ, all my air staff quit. And so I brought in celebrities and the mayors and of the various cities and prominent politicians and to man the radio station, you know, during the strike.
Oh, funny.
I would run big promotions that I called $40,000 giveaways, and I've hosted some of those on that link for the 100-year anniversary. The bulk of the history, a lot of the history of the radio station has evolved certainly around my family.
So is there a part of you that misses radio, or it's like, okay, that was my phase, that phase of my life?
No, not really. At first, yes. I posted a note to Andy Scottdahl, because I'm sure he is not aware of it. I think he had just begun working at the radio station, because when I sold it, he wasn't actively involved.
Hmm.
A few years later, I was by a broker. I was offered to buy both KRKO and KWYZ at that time, and I thought about it for 30 seconds and said no.
Didn't want to be a three-time owner, huh?
Well, I've been very blessed, because I'm professionally considered one of the most successful advertising people on the entire West.
Mm-hmm.
I am currently advertising in 27 markets on over 100 TV stations coast to coast, some radio and some cable TV. So I'm very blessed. I do millions and millions of dollars of advertising coast to coast, and I'm very honored and flattered that I'm very well known on a national level today.
Well, I'm very appreciative that you could work us in for a couple of quick minutes. I did want to ask, what is the thing that made you most proud of owning KRKO?
The huge audience response, and I didn't finish even saying why KRKO became so successful in those days, but the huge local recognition of state, regional broadcasters, political officials, anywhere from United States senators and congressmen and mayors and so on. It was a great deal of pride. Basically, there were several reasons why KRKO was so successful. Our air personalities was one. A big factor was our local news. The Everett Herald was our primary competition. Back in those days, Seattle Radio did not cover Snohomish County news. It took a major happening, like an airplane crash or a massive mill fire or something, for Seattle Radio or even TV to coverage happenings in Snohomish County. But I had a full-time news staff of up to four people, and we did a lot of investigative reporting. And of course, this started many years ago with my parents, with my dad, with Shirley Bartholomew as our news director. She was well-known on a national level, and she was well-known to all the state and congressional figures. And so we picked up the ball and just even expanded it that much more. So it was a combination of music programming, heavy news, very extensive wall-to-wall promotion of the radio station to tune in to the radio station. And newspaper, the Everett Herald at that time, was privately owned by the Best family. In fact, Bob Best Sr. And my dad were very, very close. Our families were very close friends. In fact, something that probably Andy does not even know, that my dad and Bob Best came within a whisker of starting a television station. Which later became Kong TV, which is owned by King, which is owned by Tegna. They backed out. They spent a lot of money, and it was going to be a joint effort between Bob Best Sr. and my dad. And they backed out last minute because they just felt it was too expensive to do it and too risky.
Well, back then, there was a scary concept. I mean, you know, this newfangled TV thing. Who knew it would catch on?
Back in those days, UHF frequencies, nobody had the ability to receive UHF at home. You had to have a special antenna, and there was no cable TV in those days, you know?
Yep.
One funny story strikes me, in fact, involving Pat O'Day and his then sales manager. We played in the Seattle Softball Ad Club League,
mm-hmm.
and I was doing a lot of business with Western Airlines at that time. And the media buyer from BBDO in Los Angeles came to Seattle as KJR's guest, and they went to the baseball game. The next day, I got a call from Pat O'Day saying, "What the hell do you do?" Because they took her to dinner, and all she did was talk about KRKO and Sparky Taft.
Oh, love it.
Better now.
So cool. Thank you for sharing the memories. I really appreciate it, Sparky.
All right. Take care, Kevin.
All right. You too.
KRKO, Everett's greatest hits, celebrating 100 years of serving the North Sound. Thanks for listening.